In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to our Season 4, Episode 38.
Igron, but not forgotten. Who? No? Who was he again?
Some guy.
Like a mutated putty? I don't know.
Big metal putty.
I know, yes. Let's make him stronger, but put a giant target on their chest? There we go. That's the word. What body part is that? Penis? Foot? God damn it, which one? Well, this is off to a great start. Three jumps till Paul Blart.
Alright, so this week I got not a whole lot. There was pre-releases last weekend, so that was fun. The first X and Y set's finally out, so.
Oh, wait, dude, he knows out. You. Oh, God!
Son of bitch.
Oh, God, Brian's doing Mexican, but he doesn't have his mic in. He kicked out his mic. Son of bitch.
I looked away for a second, and then all of a sudden Brian's echoing and, like, not speaking in, like, well-done sentences.
I didn't even got that.
So that went okay. We stopped at this Japanese store on the way home.
Called Japanese store.
Yes, it's actually called Mirai. But the store is really weird because they don't actually really have toys or anything.
That's weird. All stores are like that. I was at American Furniture toys the other day. I'm like, where the fuck is your toy section, bro?
Yes, meow.
Thanks, Gary.
And so I usually look at, like, the magazines and stuff. They had some Tel Aviv magazine issues. And so I picked up the ones with the inflatable Pine Iron and Ichigo Kunai, because I thought that was ridiculous. And so those are really fun. I've hit Bella with them a couple times. It's a very great stress reliever.
I saw you hit Cat with it on the stream.
Yeah, that too. So I picked up those. I found all of them. I found all four of the new turtle figures. Also, those are kind of cool.
Only kind of.
Casey's really cool. The other one's kind of. Yeah.
Well, he's America. Casey's more like a than a eh. Aerosol gets that now. Man, this is exciting.
But that's really about it. I was out today and I found new Digimon, so that's cool. I bought the microphone thing. They call it God, what the fuck do they call it? I forgot it was on the goddamn package.
Rowdy Rocker.
Well, no, that's his attack. The toy is actually different. It's
Rowdy Microphone.
I forgot what the fuck it's called.
Digi Microphone.
Maybe.
I'm just saying stuff with the word microphone.
Battle mic or something. I don't remember what to call it, but
that sounds like it would be a battleizer for Mikey.
I picked up that, and I picked up the two Transforming Fusion Loader toys. They're not quite worth the $14.99, but I really like them because transforming things is fun. I'm a child. But the microphone, I can't actually say anything about because I pulled the tab and I can't get it to work. Like, if the battery compartment's not fully screwed in, I can get it to work, and then it'll eventually just stop. And if you screw in the battery compartment all the way, it just doesn't work at all. So that's I have to take it back and get a different one. But, like, size-wise, it's not a bad toy, but early review in the 1-ups. What?
I want you to take it in and say, when they ask what's wrong with it, say it doesn't actually defeat Digimon. You say wild parrotmon flew through my window the other day and it did nothing. Thanks, Jedi.
I was promised a trip to the digital world.
Where everyone gets their own Digimonster. A digital companion. A digital friend. Just start yelling out, hey, Digimon. And then you're just like, hey, Digimon. Hey, Digimon. I love that song. It's such a fun song to, like, blast out of your car and, like, drive around campus just aimlessly.
Yep. You got it.
You got it.
That's
Home Alone, maybe?
That's it, I think. So.
Let's see. I honestly really haven't done much this week. I built an LBX. I got frustrated with how large the instructions were for Dot Blasterizer GX. I just got the Nutsack Lock Seed. I didn't get it. Brian got it. I don't do my own things anymore. I got people for that because I'm like an invalid. I feel like there was something else, but I still have 4 episodes of 5Ds and planning on finishing it this weekend. I could have finished it last weekend, but I wanted to save it for this weekend for whatever reason, so I'm still going to finish that. But yeah, honestly, this was a pretty boring week. It's just been average. No toys, no new shows or anything like that. Your turn.
Oh, it's my turn.
You didn't have to wait that 30 minutes that usually goes.
Yeah, I'm used to waiting longer. Well, as Dawson already sort of mentioned earlier, I watched the entire series of Chalk, which...
Like 5 minutes. He queefered it.
I watched it in a little under a week.
And you thought I was, like... He got me beat.
That was what I was going to talk about last week on Ramble Time, but... I wasn't here, so I ended up spoiling it last night, and we talked about it then. Let's see. Well, a number of things have happened. One funny little thing that happened to me today at the funeral home.
Sorry, that's a great sentence. That's a great way to start it. I'm sorry, I was.
Well, I was talking to my sister's stepmom, and I mentioned that I'm on a podcast. It just sort of came up.
Like, hey, I'm famous now. What?
Well, we were just talking back and forth, and she was asking me, you know, how long each episodes were. And she's like, so is it like 30 minutes, 45 minutes? I'm like, well, kind of.
It is definitely just, those times.
Just 30 minutes over and over again. So what happened was the pastor who was supposed to do the service wasn't showing up. He was like hours late. And my mom turns to me and she's like, oh, well, you know, he can do it. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. And the woman I was talking to turned to me and she's like, well, maybe you can do your podcast from here. I'm like, that might be a little awkward.
You don't want me to go up there and start insulting mentally retarded people, do you?
It would definitely be a first for the podcast, broadcasting from a funeral home, but I'm not sure the funeral service would really put up with us.
Dear Lord.
My sister's like, well, why not? I'm like, well, I feel like it'd be a little inappropriate. And then I'm like, well... It's mostly my friends. Okay, it's just the one. I don't think...
I don't think this place is ready for Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. So that happened. The other thing that happened, which was just a series of confusing events, was... I think it was like Tuesday last week, my internet went out. And after doing, you know, just a number of things to try to get back on, I called up the service to see if they could help. And they told me that they shut it off. apparently, according to them, I did not pay this month, which the money I paid at the beginning of the month would beg to differ. But, so I talked with them for a little while and worked it out, and they're like, okay, it's going to be back on in an hour. So 24 hours pass, and I get home, and it's still not on. So I get back on the phone, I'm talking with them, and they're like, okay, well, we shut it off in October. What?
How have I been using the internet? Oh my god, is it the Matrix?
Yeah, like that was my first question. I'm like, well, I've been using it since then. The service only now cut out, you know, yesterday.
Hell of a delay.
So then they put me on hold, and then I was bouncing back and forth between the tech department, the, you know, service desk or whatever, and I think one of them was like, oh, well, we don't see your account on our records. I'm like, that still doesn't make sense. I've been paying you. I've been using the service. So they're like, okay, well, we'll open up a new account. No? What?
How about no?
And eventually, I get through all of that, and they say, okay, well, we'll send out a repair guy. So that he didn't show up until Friday. And he gets here, spends 5 minutes outside looking at the thing, whatever it is outside that he needs to look at. He comes in, and he's like, I've been here before. Like, you certainly have. Well, I was told that this was an installation. No. No, it isn't. So, I explained it to him. He spends 10 minutes on the phone, and the internet's working again. Like, wait, so you can get working in 10 minutes, but I can get working in 3 days?
Well, so next
by
time,
talking to your tech department.
Next time, you just know you got to call a repairman out to your house and then just stop him in the driveway and say, call your boss, whoever you need to call, and get this on. And that's how it works.
And now, here's the real kicker. The other day, I get a box in the mail. And it's from them, and it's a new modem, which I don't need. But they thought that they set up a new account for me, which they didn't. And okay, so my last name is Luke. It's like one of the most common male names in the English language. It's incredibly easy to spell, really hard to get wrong. The name on this package was addressed to Lunk.
Lunk, I am your father.
How? Just how?
I feel like you stumbled upon a sitcom about a really incompetent cable company. Like, I feel like this is one of their episodes where they just can't get it right. And there's all these bumbling characters. You got the bumbling installation people, the bumbling people on the phones. They can't spell. I'd watch it.
So, yeah, apparently I now have two accounts, one under my actual name and one under the name Lunk.
this is like Burt Mac and Alias. Lunk, you son of a bitch.
So that's been my week. I don't think I've no.
No.
I thought I had something, and then I didn't. So
that whole, like, are you sure you have an account here thing reminds me of every time I go into my GameStop. Because GST split my account down the middle. Like, it's essentially two accounts now. I don't know how she did it. But every goddamn time I go in there, I'm here to I'm here to pick up Assassin's Creed. And they type on the computer, and they're like, are you sure I have it reserved here? I'm like, yep. Give them the number again. They type for, like, 5 more minutes. Are you sure you exist? I'm like, God damn it. I know I have the game here. And then I don't know what they do every time. They're like, oh, I just had to type in bing, 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 and then hit with my elbow, and now we got it. I'm like, all right, whatever. Just get me my game. It seems like what happens every time. They're always like, oh, now I'll remember for next time. Only problem is it's a new person every time. I think they keep killing off people. So annoying.
I just had to type in some random letters, hit like the fonts, and go, hey, it worked just fine.
That's what I told you to do. Good times.
Right.
So anyway.
Okay. What was that?
I don't know.
Are we going to be like serious news now and do like the traditional newscaster voices? It's time for the news. Just say the nudes in that voice every time now.
No.
Okay. But it would be funny. Like,
he's not as easy to influence as Kevin is.
Especially when it comes to voices. Okay.
What do we have for news this week?
I feel like there was some... Oh, those, the Gaim shits.
Yep. First in the news, Gaim shits.
I think that's it, but...
Power Rangers 15? Toys at that German toy fair.
Oh, yeah, we got that, too.
They're all like, Du hast, or whatever German people say. I should know.
I watched that video, and the German guy, like, getting nothing right about these toys was really funny.
I watched it, but I didn't put my headphones on. I saw the Ben 10 guy, I'm like, Brian's freaking out right now. They're like, I fucking hate that guy.
I was.
Brian never met him in person, he would just, like, headbutt him, like, really,
really
hard.
Upset. I'm like, you're so old, I don't want to be you one day, but I probably will be, and it makes me upset.
Oh,
but since we're talking about it, I guess we'll start with that. So Germany's Nuremberg, or whatever the fuck Europe's shit is, is having their toy fair. Ours is in 2 weeks, I think. 1 week, whatever. But a lot of what they had on display was stuff we already know about, some alternate packaging for some things. But new stuff included the Gojujin.
The Megazord.
The Mega Blocks say it's the Q-Rex Megazord. The guy called it the Dino Megazord, which is a lie because that's the name of the MMPR Megazord now. So I don't know what the hell it's called, honestly, but it was there. It's just Gojujin except a little bit squatter.
I want the one that's more babooer.
It looked like all the functions were there, so whatever.
A duck function.
The 12-inch Ranger figures that we keep hearing about are indeed those Titan Hero things that these companies keep putting out.
The dolls.
Transformers has them. Marvel had a bunch. They weren't as tall, the Marvel ones, but they're no articulate. It's basically a vinyl figure, except the proportions are jacked up stupid. like really lanky, and it's just awful. I prefer Chunky myself. He was a better Kong, but they're awful. So that's not even worth mentioning. There was a couple Ranger keys on display that we haven't seen yet, but
technically we've already seen them, just not in their small form.
Yeah. Was there anything else?
The 5-inch figures. We got a few more reveals, like SPD. Dino Thunder, Mystic Force without the cape, because Edna took it off. She's like, no capes, darling, and then she ripped it off. True story.
That's kind of upsetting.
Well, I think they might include it later, since yeah. This is early prototypes. I will be upset if they don't. Like, I'm not one to be like, but, I mean, it's kind of important in the costume. He just looks naked without it. Even the bike figures from Mystic Force, or at least a lot of them, had the capes.
Yeah. Looking at the... I mean, I don't know about those molds, but looking at the Super Mega Force molds, there's no hole in the back or anything for a cape, but wouldn't be too hard to implement one. And they all fell over. Who gives a shit? Oh, look, another fucking Barnaby Brooks Jr. figure art. Go die in a ditch.
Barnaby? Sorry.
Good lord.
That's related. Style, but they actually look pretty decent.
Style 2. Okay, thank you, Tomashi, because we needed that in life.
I like how you said Tomashi. Tomashi.
Tomashi.
Ah, Robot Tomasul! Sorry.
Anyway. But yeah, like I said, the Q-Rex Dino theme of Bobber looks really cool. The Red Ranger figures, I'm excited for them. I like the 5-inch figures. They're not as good as what we had, but they're still pretty solid figures.
They're actually pretty decent. The Dino Thunder one looks pretty good. I kind of hope, like, over the next couple years, if we continue it, will they modify it a little bit? Because my main problem with the new ones is their legs are so, like, stumpy. Like, it doesn't look right. Like, it seriously looks like they use, like, an enlargement ray on the 4-inch figures.
Yeah, well, that's basically it. And it makes the shoulders look really jacked up.
Yeah, so it's kind of strange. They look kind of like Hobbits if, like, the cast of The Hobbit was Power Rangers.
But, yes, so that was a thing. Like I mentioned before, there were some new Gaim scans. We have our first look at Kamen Rider Knuckle.
I mean Fist?
Fist. Who said that?
Some guy on the stream. I don't know. The names are going so fast. Okay. I was so annoyed I couldn't take it. Between, like, I know him and anime! Notice me! I was like, oh, Lord. Just trying not to get a headache.
So that is someone of an identity we don't know. There's been a lot of rumors, and one of which I'm pretty sure is accurate given the fact that he was with Baron in the scans.
Who that?
But, Zach, I think.
The black guy?
I don't know anyone in Team Baron except Kaito.
They all just look like the same. They're all just wearing the same jackets, so they just kind of blend in for now.
But he uses the Kurumi Lockseed, the walnut, and the driver that Kaito stole in the episode we'll discuss shortly. So yeah, that's a thing. He looks really cool. I like the fact they just punches things. It's pretty much how I play video games.
Yeah, pretty even Uncharted. Like, I'm like, Brian, I'm pinned down here. What are you gonna do? Jumps over me, just runs after guys with AK-47s with his fists.
I'm fucking Sully.
It's like every time I look over at you, you were like tackling somebody.
That's how I play these games. Why do you think it's so difficult for me all the time?
I bet The Last of Us is especially difficult. Alright, you're going to want to sneak up on this clicker. And then it's like, and you're like, oh fuck.
It is. That was the first thing I tried to do was punch it. I couldn't. I was upset.
This clicker can't take my fists. Clickers still freak me out.
They do. So that's a thing. Another was a writer from the Showa vs. Heisei thing. Kamen Rider 15, named because this is the 15th Heisei show, I guess. Other than that, it's a stupid name. I don't know why they're fixated on the whole 15 thing.
It's a pretty sick suit, though.
But it is pretty cool. It's got this big hair thing.
Kind of reminds me of Ryo.
It. What?
You know, because it's from Geki Ranger.
Oh, yeah, because he got the hair thing. Okay.
My helmet does kind of look similar.
There's so many of these characters named
with
Ryo's.
Just, like, you picture 15 people at once.
I'm like, who? Is it the bird? I mean, what's going on?
I think that's the first thing you think of. You just picture that little blue bird being all happy.
He's got this, like, weird, like, rib cage thing going. I don't know if that's supposed to be an actual food or not, but...
Thank you all for being here. Thanks, Ron. Oh, I was talking to these ribs.
He uses more Legend Rider stuff. New ones, including Decade and Gaim, which is.
I was telling Aerosol yesterday that I saw someone comment, which I kind of agree with, that the Decade arms are like Super Mega Force redundant. He's transforming into someone whose power is to transform into someone. It's like, it is pretty funny.
Let's see, okay, Decade arms, okay, now I'm Decade, card, now I'm Deno.
Alright, that didn't take too much effort. We're just like pulling off a combo in a fighting game.
So that's kind of cool. I kind of hope, a figure is made of him. If not a figure, at least another arms change set of Legend Riders. because those things are seriously ridiculously fun.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see them.
More that fit onto everybody. It would be maybe neat to, even if it was a premium set that just included him and all the ones he's got.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. He's got a new lock seat and a new faceplate too, so I'm expecting either a Blood Orange-esque set or a premium set. I'm also expecting a premium set with Matsubokuri and Kurumi with a blank faceplate and Kurokage's faceplate. So we'll see how that goes, but lots of cool new stuff on the horizon for Gaim.
Yep.
We should... we're probably still a little ways off from toy scans. We just got Kachidoki and the DJ gun not too long ago, so...
But at least we're finally getting stuff. We had a pretty big drought for a while in terms of actual news to talk about.
Like, my January order from Ami Ami wasn't even $100. I'm like, what is going on?
My January order from Ami Ami was an LBX.
That's... Wow.
Yep. It's my life.
That's our life right now. No to it. Well... It balanced out by having so many friggin', like, Power Rangers and Digimon and everything coming out.
Yeah.
That,
just walk out with a full card of children's toys.
I ended up spending, like, $300 within the month of January on U.S. toys.
Awkward pause. You just, like, abruptly stopped. Like, completely stopped everything, including breathing.
Well, I was looking at the Tokusatsu Network to see if there was any other news.
Well, there's characters details revealed for the next Garo series, as well as a brief synopsis of Kikaider Reboot, as well as who's directing and writing it, and when it will be premiering.
I don't know anything about Kikaider, so
you got half a head.
A reboot. And if someone subs it, I'll watch it because I can. But the Garo, next Garo series, we mentioned a long time ago that it was going to star Koga's son, Raiga. His name's man.
Burt Macklin's son.
And like, for real, it's little Koga. I say this all the time. They got the same fucking face, I swear to God.
Well, they all do.
And it's funny because then you've got, like, another guy right below it on this list named Crow. And he's got the same face. I think it's the same person. They're identical.
I wouldn't say that, but I do think Crow looks a little more like Koga than Raiga does.
They're all the same person.
It's like my bit about conspiracies about people being the same person.
But the butler guy is coming back. Gonza, he's awesome.
Yeah, that confuses me. So is Gonza, like, immortal?
I think so. He hasn't really aged. And, I mean, Raiga here is probably at least late teens. So I think Gonza just is an immortal being.
Sorry, like, name's great. Gonza. Gonza. You're like a damn Gonza, Gonza, Gonza.
Obviously, Zaruba's going to be in it since he was still with Liga, so. I mean, I'm looking forward to more Garo. I don't really like the direction they took.
Yeah.
I would rather have seen more stuff in Ryuga's timeline, but...
They could have at least given him different clothing.
Yeah,
I know that's such a petty thing to pick up.
It's the same clothes.
But he's wearing the exact same wardrobe as his dad.
Like, who does? Well, Gohan did, but Gohan's got issues.
At least Gohan wore Piccolo's clothes every now and then.
Yeah. Remember what happened when he wore his own clothes? He took on a superhero identity and started posing. And then he became a nerd. Essentially, he looks like the Dragon Ball anime version of Ben, with glasses.
Well, I know you guys don't really care about it, but I'll just give a brief coverage of the Kikaider stuff. The synopsis is, the movie is set in Tokyo in the near future. The Japanese government begins the ARK project in order to tackle problems humans can't deal with by using robots for help. Led by the great scientist Nobuhiko Komiyoji?
Yep.
However, he dies mysteriously in what seems to be an accident. 1 year later, the project is taken over by Professor Komiyoji's rival, Kanzaki.
Oh, man.
And the project escalates out of hand. That's when a robot with a heart called Zero appears to save the day.
Kakayu?
Yes. Oh, Zero will be played by Jinji Iri? He's joined by Nobuhiko's daughter, Mitsuko, played by Aimi Satsuko.
Sorry,
Satsuko.
Other actors included are guy with ridiculous name, other guy with ridiculous name from Kamen Rider Kabuto, third guy with ridiculous name, and fourth guy with
I'd love name. To read one of those cast lists once and be like, starring Kai Shibazibu, Kibi Ruyu, and Channing Tatum. Like, I'd love to just have like a normal dude in there, randomly.
I'm sorry, I butchered the easy names. Those were not the easy names.
Kazushige Nagashima. That's a name.
The producer revealed that the script took over 2 years to finish.
That's a long time.
The movie will be directed by Ten Shimoyama.
Ten.
And written by Kento Shimoyama, who's the same person who wrote GoBusters vs. GoBusters. Huh. The reboot will be premiering on May 24th. And it's essentially a reboot of the series, so I don't feel like you need to know too much going into it. Yeah. Unless it's like Gavin, they pull, you know, a Kenji Oba and having him drive through the set.
What a badass. He just rolls through water. Check out my hair. Not a lick of water.
If I ever go to Japan and, like, hang out with Mr. S, like, he needs to introduce me to Kenji Oba, because I need to meet this man. And I need to ask him why he does not get wet and how he's allowed to drive through sets of movies.
I just try to throw water in his face, nothing happens. Holy shit!
Oh, I was seeing on Twitter, who was it that actually got to meet Ramirez?
Oh,
the guy
Tom.
Who plays
Constantine. He wrote for HGU for a while, but now he's on
I saw him posting a little bit about that. I'm like, oh my god,
I'm so jealous.
I think we should actually go to Japan for our first mini-cation since we never had a first one, and they just call it RR the Movie, The Quest for Ramirez. It'll be like the Star Wars spin-off movies between the main numbers. Wow, I'm great at talking.
We split up, one group has to go look for Ramirez, the other group tries to find Tom to find Ramirez.
I'm just thinking of Tom from Parks and Rec. Like, that seems like something he would do. Who's trying to buy the store? It's Diddy, isn't it? It's Diddy.
I saw him say something about how I guess he didn't know that he had such a following with the English fans. I'm like, dude, you have no idea.
There was somebody that was like, dude, we should get Ramirez to go to Morphicon. I'm like, I don't think that would happen, but that would be amazing. Ramirez would be the star of Morphicon. Screw JDF, we have Ramirez. JDF's not even going. He's too busy being a douchey.
Everyone's just bringing their Anki Dons to get signed.
Anki Don!
It's the only thing we got of Cyan besides, like, a candy toy vinyl. So,
we need more merchandise for the Spirit Rangers. Did anybody see the little trailer for JDF's My Morphin Life?
I heard there was a trailer. I haven't got to see it.
It's just kind of him driving around and going to conventions going, it's Morphin time! And, like, kicking, and some footage from Super Mega Force where he's like, my dragon dagger still works. I'm like, oh my god, JDF. he's such an obnoxious person. He's like the Johnny Knoxville of Power Rangers.
That was the one thing I tweeted that, it was a retweet, I forgot who said it originally, that he's like the one guy that won't let you forget that he was on Power Rangers.
Oh, man.
You guys, that was on Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that, sir.
Yeah.
Can you just give us the money so you can take your groceries with you?
I like to imagine that JDF just fills all, like, silence between his sentences with, yeah.
I swear to God, he does not realize that you could tweet under the character limit and just fills it in with, yeah.
It's so annoying. He's like, eggs for breakfast. Yeah. I'm like, Oh, what are you, Tom? Tom is a foodie, which means he takes pictures of food on Instagram. Oh, man. ADF. Great way to end it. Now it's time for...
Superhero Time with Curiouser and Gaim.
That sounds so pleasant. It's like the pleasant... It sounds like the morning show edition.
Okay, well, I forget which episode of Curiouser we're on.
46.
46, yay. I'm not doing a summary unless...
Let's just talk about it. I've been campaigning against summaries since 2010, so and I still maintain one. So, this was a good episode. I liked it. All right, Kevin's part done. but it was a good episode, and I did like it. I think I mentioned to both of you already that I was actually pretty okay with the explanation of how, what went down with Torin. We pretty much all called it that. You know, it was going to end up being some kind of, you know, scam, and Daigo's dad really wasn't evil. And even though it turned out the way, I was glad it was this explanation rather than just to stop the clock, because I also said that they could probably just restart the clock at any time, so it seems stupid. And I like that it was used so that Torin could get sent to hell so he can fuck shit up. What a badass. Like, seriously, we sent Torin to hell so we could raise hell. Cut to Torin being a badass. I'm like, alright, that's pretty cool. Cuts to Daigo's dad. Still looks constipated.
He's just always grumpy.
I know, it's like ridiculous. But so I was pretty good with that explanation.
It's all good. I didn't mind it. At first I was like, well, that's a little dumb, because you're just killing Torin so he can go beat people up in hell. And then I remembered, like, what their actual plan was, like, the boss. I'm like,
essentially the ending of
their
storm.
Their plan was to resurrect everyone. Okay, yeah, that works. I'm
you
cool
can't
with that.
Resurrect everyone if they're already dead in hell. Got Torin. Torin?
Torin? I called him Torin for some reason. Torin is like, he's killing them again, like, even more. He's making them so dead that they can't even handle it.
Oh, man. They go to second hell after that. You don't come back from that.
That's like a really demonic version of Second Life.
In that one, I'm also Dwight. I'm also a paper salesman. Above him says assistant to the regional manager. It's like, it could be anything you wanted, Dwight. I don't know how Dwight got into this. Better hurry before we get to Paul Blart again. And Ian also got some badass moments in this. He slowly walked away from explosion. It was pretty badass.
We got to see Dino's Grinder again. That was a rare occurrence.
And we solved, based on the title, Igron's story, after we talked about how they kind of forgot about some things, and we found out the explanation that he essentially died and has been trapped in his suit this whole time. That sucks. I must smell him there.
Poor guy didn't even know.
What I like about that whole... thing and how that all went down is it really wasn't a matter of Ian forgiving Igoron, because even Igoron said, yeah, you really have no reason to forgive me. I've done some terrible things.
Here's the fun.
It was more of like he's his enemy, but he sees how much pain he's been put in, and it's like a it's kind of a cruel torment. Like, he's just this constant... he's just undead. He's an undead warrior. He can never die and actually have any amount of peace, no matter how banged up he gets. So, yeah, what I like about that scene was it is sort of still his revenge, but it's more of like a mercy killing. It's not really done out of any sort of anger or anything. It's just... He's doing it because he sees how much sorrow that his enemy is in. It's sort of like him taking pity.
He kind of got the best of both worlds. It's like Hannah Montana, both revenge.
And I thought that for a character who really hasn't done too much in the series. Igaron had a nice death scene.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a nice way to go out. Well, no, it was a horrible way for him to go out, but it was a nice scene.
But I mean, like I said, it took a lot for the show to make me, I mean, not upset, but feel for a character that I didn't really like and didn't really do a whole lot. I legitimately felt sad for him. And it says a lot about the quality and, I don't want to say acting because that's not the word I'm looking for, but presentation, maybe, of the show to kind of portray something like that towards a character that was really annoying to me.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, they really didn't go the route of, oh, now he's a good person and now you should feel sorry for him because he's nice now. It really was, they really did make sure to tell you, he is still unforgivable. Like, he did still kill people. But, like, now you kind of realize, well, this guy's trapped. He can never die. And he does seem to feel legitimate regret about the things that he's done. You know, you pity him, just like Ian does. And I like that moment with Ian, too. Like, it was sad for Igel, and it was also sad for Ian as well, just seeing him sort of like, it's been building up to this, and that's all he's wanted was revenge, and now he gets it, but it's in such a way that it's like, it's not satisfying, I don't know how to put it.
He just wanted this one delicious moment.
He's like breaking down because he's basically saying I should feel good about this moment, but instead I feel bad because he's suffering.
Yeah, I get what you mean. He didn't really get to have that, you know. You're just an evil guy, I'm going to kill you type deal. He didn't really have that sort of Andy end of season 8 office, I always wanted one delicious moment thing. It was much more of a realistic reaction to something like that. Especially since Andy wasn't trying to kill Nelly. I missed it. Except when he randomly was really mad at her again at the beginning of season 9. That was when Andy in his douchebag phase. Watch, as they make Andy unlikable. Why am I talking about The Office still? Somebody stop me.
But next week seems really fun, so
yeah, we get real people. I guess they're real people, but non-dead people taking over Cyan.
Do the suits change?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't tell by the one picture that I looked at whether
they're... Yeah.
Oh, they do. Neat.
I saw a different picture, and I thought I saw that it was no longer that dead color.
It feels weird that we'll be doing our series wrap up, like our big series discussion.
Yeah.
It feels weird because with stuff like Wizard and even GoBusters, you know, it kind of felt like it was time. But with Curiouser, I could legitimately keep watching this.
Wait, is it next week or is it 2 weeks?
Not that it's like the best series ever. It's just I could see the series continue going and not really feeling too burdened by it.
Yeah. Is it next week that ends or the week after?
Oh, shit.
Is it 47 or 48?
The one that's airing right now, or rather tomorrow, Saturday, fuck. Airing on Sunday, which is Saturday for us, is 47.
So then it's 48 that ends on.
Correct.
Okay, well, just I got confused because like there was comments on the 46 when I watched it that said, "Oh, it ends next week." I'm like, I don't think so.
Tokyo starts on the 16th.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it doesn't feel like it's around that time yet. Like, it could go a little bit longer. There's so much potential with Kiryuger, really. Good times.
Like, I don't think it's gonna trump GoBusters for me, but it's a show that I'm really sad to see go.
I always wait to sort of rank it mentally until it's done, because you never know what's going to happen. The final two episodes could be the most amazing thing ever. They could just make everyone be Daigo's dad. He's all the ten Rangers.
They could turn them all into mud puppets.
Yeah. And then never explain who was the original. So weird. Everyone just started melting. It was a fucking mess.
And then they all fly away on a cloud.
Until one gets stabbed and just lies on the bed, just bleeding out. I want to give him a pleasant memory of his wedding so that he came over to find his best friend in a pool of blood later. Seriously, that's what would have happened. Well, guy, we're taking off. Oh, God, he's in a pool of blood. Cigarette still going. It's like the opening of a CSI episode. God.
Is this just let's spew off like the worst endings ever? The game.
Well, the funny thing is, all of those series happened one year after the other, and they were all kind of weird endings for the series.
It was a dark time. I mean,
admittedly, Z-Ranger just sort of ended the same way it began, you know, with
boring.
No significance whatsoever. But
well, it's funny because. Those are probably some of the most bizarre Sentai endings that I can think of, because Sentai endings don't tend to be really weird. I mean, like, in the more recent years, unlike sort of Rider sometimes has those weird, you know, resets, main character becomes a monster, it doesn't end type deals.
Yeah.
So
I tend to be more okay with Sentai endings.
They seem more just like normal finales instead of trying to do something weird.
I mean, yeah, we have mud puppets, but still.
That never happened in MMPR. still didn't expect shit to get real during Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun.
I can't remember any of the, like, anything that really stood out as being strange for the more recent series endings.
Like, yeah, they're a little bit tamer.
You know, Go Busters Fit. Gokaiger Fit. I can't remember Z Rangers. I don't really care. Shinkanger was fine.
Wait, did you mean Gosager? Because you said G Rangers, and we just talked about G Rangers ending.
I still don't care.
Oh, okay, well, just because you said I can't remember G Rangers ending.
But,
like,
yeah, I meant
after.
Gosager. I don't know why I brought up Z Ranger.
Because you associate them really closely. Goanders, they were like, they went off to fight more. Almost said Imogens. What are they called? Garlic? Gyark? Garlic?
What'd they do? Like, go to Cowboy World or some shit?
Yeah. they were like, let's go on and stuff. What's the one before? Gekki Rangers was like, John went off to travel, people did stuff. Let's just spoil every Sentai ending. Let's go, everybody. They all win.
Are you shitting me?
The pants aren't magic and the middle sister dies!
That's a spoiler for the ending of Magi Ranger. Obviously.
Obviously.
Their pants aren't magic.
And the middle sister dies. Thanks. Spoiler alert. And there goes Magi Ranger. No need to watch it now. No need for Magi, you know. Classic. Well, speaking of magic pants, time for Gaim.
Sure.
Thank you for that golf clap.
Yep.
Okay. So, Kota and Kaito, who is hopefully their names I can get straight because they're written together like three times in this summary, have been brought in, and they were brought to Ryoma, and he explains to them that he made the driver and all that stuff, and they keep trying to stop him, but they keep getting assaulted by a lesbian assistant. Oh, it just doesn't move. Anyway, sorry. So he sends them to some cells so that they can think about possibly testing out a new power for him. Meanwhile, Michi's creeping around the place. The DJ stops by Kota's cell and asks him why he wouldn't want power, and he says he just wants power to protect people, and he's like, you know what? When life gives you lemon lock seeds, just fuck the lemons and bail. And he gives him a lemon lock seed. And he leaves, and I make a Forgetting Sarah Marshall reference, and no one understands it. So then he's left there, and Michi shows up, and he's like, hey, May. He's like, Michi, what the fuck are you doing in here? He's like, well, I was just creeping around, thought I'd stop by. He's like, all right, use this hotel room key to get me out of here. He kept it from when he went to the Pasadena Sheraton. I still have mine. That's how I get out of prison cells. You know how it goes. So they save Kaito, and they get their belts back, and they get stopped by some Kurokages, and they end up splitting up. Kota's trying to go through one of the tree portals, and he gets stopped by Sid, and he puts a big nutsack on his head and transforms, and that's fun times. And so they start fighting. Baron eventually catches up with them, and they semi knock him down, and he gets ready to shoot them with an arrow, but the lesbian bitch, who's also the Peach Rider, stops him, saying that Ryoma wants him alive. Michi gets tracked down by some Kurokages on the shiny new bikes that I don't get, and he transforms, and his brother sees, and then it ends. So yeah, this was another really good episode. I liked it. it's nice to see everything just moving along. You know, Kaito's kind of aware of what's going on more now. We're in here. They got to meet the guy that made him. He explained that he made the catchphrases.
Yeah, I like that part. Like the moment he tells them that he created the belt, the first question that comes to their mind is, so you did the whole catchphrase thing? Like you're the one who'd put in Knight of Spear? He's like, well guilty pleasure.
so that was fun. And Brian, didn't you say on the live stream that there was a theory that DJ was the first Duke, and that's why he got the Lemon Lock seat, and then now Ryoma's going to take over?
Yeah, that's not true at all.
Oh.
You can tell it's Ryoma in that first lineup that they had.
Because, you know, it would make sense that he would have access to lock seats since he works there, and they have, there's one of each lock seat.
Like, the thing about the theory is that, given Duke's design, he's got kind of like the headphone thing going on.
Uh-huh.
Is that between him having the gear and having the lock seat and Duke's design in general, everything kind of made sense.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell it's Ryoma in that lineup in the previous episode, so...
It would seem kind of silly to make him Duke for, like, an episode. Or, like, less than an episode, practically, just to have the explanation of why he got the lock seed, when clearly there's multiple lock seeds of every kind. So, when they got their drivers back... Kota got his. Did Baron? I was confused by that. Did Baron grab his, or did he just grab a new one?
Baron grabbed his and a new one.
Okay,
yeah,
because Kota's like, let me take this back, and then Baron's like, oh, this works on anyone. I'm like, oh, so you don't want yours back? You want the new 5S, I guess? I was like, isn't that more dangerous? Can someone can steal it from you and just use it? But yeah, that kind of opens it up though for, you know, possible switches later, like if I don't remember Greedon's name, like the character, but if he dies, or if Bravo dies, like someone could possibly take up the mantle of that rider, since there's a belt that exists now that's not locked in, and there's obviously multiple lock seeds.
I know the general assumption is that it's going to Knuckle.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about those drivers exist in abundance.
I get what you mean.
So that they can change that up if they need to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like there's something else I was going to say about it, but it was just, it's such a good show.
Yeah, the pacing really doesn't slow down. Yeah.
It's like Fies without the depression.
It's been very consistent. Like, I was rewatching it before we started talking tonight, and, the whole deal with, Zangetsu finding out that, you know, his brother is a writer. In any other writer series, that would have gone on much longer than it has.
Yeah.
And we're already getting to that point where, well, now he knows, you know, and we've seen the previews for next week. He's obviously confronting him, at least in some manner. So it's like we're already getting to these points that any other series would have taken longer to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good sign, because it means that hopefully there's going to be a lot more to this series still to come.
Like, the shit going on now is, like, the stuff that was happening in, like, episode 40-something of Forza and Wizard. Like, it's just so incredible to watch, because you're watching this, and then it just dawns on you that this was episode 15. We're only, like, not even a fourth through the show. Actually, we are. No, we're not.
Yeah, we are. You're a fourth.
Fractions. Factions.
Factions. I was like, wait, there's a joke behind this.
But yes, it's just one of those really cool to experience things when you start thinking about it like that. And, like, every time you think, well, they can't possibly do more or get better, and then you watch the next episode and things progress and things get better, and you're just like, ah.
What I like about it is that I never really can guess what the next episode's going to be like. It's like,
yeah.
Especially when I'm thinking about, like, we're being a fourth through the show, we still have so much show left, and it seems like it's even more that we have than normal just because I have no idea what's going to happen. It's
well,
like,
hell.
It's a lot of, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't really have anything else to say.
I was just going to add to it. I was going to say, even if you read all of the rumors and, I know it kind of got released early that now I can't think of his name. Hase was gonna bite it, both literally and metaphorically. But yeah,
literally bit it.
But even knowing that prior, those scenes are still really good,
yeah.
And they're still really emotional. One thing that I agreed with you that you brought up last week, Dawson, was the scene with Yuya and with Michi finding out that Yuya was sort of that first monster that Coda killed, and that kind of taking place, you know, alongside the fight between Coda and Hase. They're strong scenes. They really do make an impact, even if you know. You know, or can guess what's going to happen. It really doesn't detract from those scenes.
Yeah, it was really well done. And you know, speaking of that, I didn't think to mention that Michi shielded Kota away from seeing what happened to Yuya.
Yeah,
and that'll be interesting. He obviously got to find out eventually.
He's just over there going, "Oh shit!"
And he's
pound,
like,
pound, pound.
Oh fuck! Wait, let me check my email before we go. Oh man. I just set off an alarm. Looks like we gotta go. I'll just check it on my iPhone.
I'm sorry, man. Were you watching that?
Sorry. Just picturing Michi saying it like that. Like in the middle of the situation, he wants to check something on the computer. Were you watching that? I think that's going to be interesting because... You know, even beyond him wanting to shield Kota from finding out that he killed his friend, the fact is that all the other invests, except for the rat ones, the monster ones, are likely humans, as far as we know. There could be native invests, but as far as we know right now, all the invests are some sort of creature from here.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting because this is right when Kota has made this resolution to protect people mm-hmm. from the invest invasion, but we just found out that those are humans. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, since this is a Kamen Rider show, we're going to be blowing up monsters for the rest of the series, so I'm kind of assuming we're going to explain it the way Ryoma did to them, that their human side's completely gone. But still, I think they kind of have to deal with that, because Kota's like, you know, I'm going to resolve to kill these monsters to protect people, but the monsters were people. So that kind of has to be dealt with.
And that does kind of flow into the whole conversation that he had in the final part of this episode with Sid. With Sid pretty much telling him that, you know, you have to make those tough decisions. You have to have what it takes to actually get the job done.
Yeah, he was
and
right.
That's what he was doing with Hase. Albeit, Sid was a little more vicious or heartless than he may have needed to be. But you do, while you do sympathize with Coda, obviously, but... Sid has a point. He's technically right. Like, he really is. He's right. You know, he's the one that ended up protecting the city, not Coda. And even though even though you sympathize with Coda about, you know, Hase and that how that whole thing went down, Sid has the point. Like, he has the point that, you know, Hase was just going to hurt more people, and it would have, you know, infected more people, and more people would have become invest because of it. Like, it would have just made things worse. So, it is sort of that question whether or not Coda really does have full resolve. Like, he says he does, and he obviously means what he says, that he wants to protect the city, but at the same time you have this whole dealing with Sid where he's telling him, well, you kind of don't, because you didn't have enough resolve to actually kill your friend.
Yeah. And he's going to have to figure that out once he finds out what the invests actually are.
I want to see what happens when he finds out he killed Yuya. Bitch is going to flip a shit.
That was his first monster, too. That's so crazy good. Like, damn, the first writer... That's, like, such a, you know, iconic battle for the first writer in every series. You have that first monster battle, and the fact that he killed his friend. That's crazy. I sound so happy about it, but I'm just saying it's, like, a good story.
Like, the thing about it is that, like, it was such an obvious thing, given the fact that once we found out that the invests are people, or even had that sort of notion, that's probably what happened to Yuya, but you never really thought about it, because you were always thinking, like, normal writerness. I don't want to, like, throw out just, like, fucking normalities here, but just, like, you're thinking the typical track of writer. You're like, oh, he's going to come back and, like, be evil, or he'll come back as, like, a new writer and save the day. No,
or
bitch
they'll
died
somehow save him and cure him.
Yes. No, bitch died in the first episode.
So, you know what? I don't know if I mentioned it. I did mention that I did get spoiled that he turned into an invest, because I saw a picture of him eating the fruit, but I actually didn't get spoiled of what invest he was. So there was that still real shock moment when it showed him transforming into that first invest. So I was glad I at least got that, because I knew he turned, but I didn't know he was going to be the first monster. I was like, oh, chiz. But... Writer sure likes to tackle these controversial science fiction issues, doesn't it? It's always about the monsters' rights. Should we kill them? It's always so controversial. Mm-hmm. It kind of, almost in a way, reminds me of, like, Blade when he was, you know, defending Chalice because he was his friend. And in the end, Kenzaki ended up being wrong because he defended him. And then all the Jokers started showing up. He's like, oh, fuck, he was wrong. Can't believe Garen was right. That guy's a douche. He just follows anyone that talks to him. Hey, do you want to be in my alliance? Yeah. He's pretty much like Chang in Paintball. Just running around. Can I join you?
I'm trying to think of what else happened in this episode. I like that we have a main character who wasn't a hero to begin with. Like, I mean, just thinking back to the first few episodes where Coda was so happy-go-lucky and, you know, just screwing around with the belt like it's a toy, you know? And then you look at him now, just 15 episodes later, and you've seen that progression over time where he's now finally, you know, just starting to get to that point where he's becoming more of what we're used to as a Kamen Rider, someone who is actually protecting people. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like that our first sort of, you know, quote unquote arc for the show was sort of building Coda up to that point, and now, you know, we've gotten to that point where he has the resolve to protect the city, but, you know, there's still questions on, you know, how resolved he is and how far that will go. And, you know, so it's it's interesting that they've done that. It's interesting that they've taken that slower approach with building up a hero instead of just starting out with a hero. And even now, you know, we finally got to a point where we can say, you know what? Yeah, Coda's a Kamen Rider. He's
a Kamen Rider, you know, now. He's a Kamen Rider.
But, you know, and yet we can still say that there's more to go. There's more to progress with this.
Yeah, and I like how real his character is about it. Like, his realistic reactions from everything. Like, obviously this is a fantastical world, but it feels like something a real person would do, like all the stages he's gone through.
Well, yeah, like you said, he has very realistic reactions to everything that's going on. And that's something we've been mentioning since day one, like when we were watching episode 2 and he had all of those goofy reactions with the bell. That's exactly something we would do.
Yeah.
If we found a belt that turned us into a hero like that, we'd screw around with it. We'd mess with it. We'd play.
He was just transforming over and over again in his room.
We'd find whatever reason we could to transform, even if it was just the most menial task imaginable. And then I think with the little stuff like that, that was a good way of showing just how realistic his reactions are to things, so that once we get to the more serious stuff like we have been, it makes sense for him to react this way. You know, he's reacting the way anyone would be sort of in shock after seeing someone that they knew turn into a monster and then get killed without any sort of remorse whatsoever, you know?
Yeah. It's been really well done. I've been really impressed with that. So good. I like it too much. And so do other people. They need to stop buying the merchandise so I can get it.
It's a strange feeling. We've had about 5 years of Kamen Rider being sort of that same cut and paste sort of thing. And, you know, not all of them have been bad, but you know, we get to this point and it's so different. Like, it takes such a left turn with how it handles everything that it's like Kamen Rider is addicting all over again.
Yeah. It's funny because it brings back that sort of mystery and sort of almost more ominous tone that I liked about the earlier Hesse series. But it does a lot of stuff better, too, because a lot of those series took a while to get going into this sort of, like, you want to watch each episode to find out the next mystery. And they got going a lot faster. And I still think it's funny how straight-faced they play the whole fruit thing.
Yeah.
Like, I like how they explained it. Like, the fruit in this dimension has power, and we harnessed it. I mean, it kind of, when they explain it like that and you see what the fruit looks like in the dimension, it's like, that doesn't seem so silly now. But it's like, when you first see the pictures, they're like, orange, bananas, grapes, these are our heroes. And they, like, they've had humorous moments in here, but they've not really made any jokes about the fruit themselves, really. Which I think is so funny. Like, they play it so damn straight-faced.
And, I mean, they took a good approach with it. If you go and read several different kinds of myths, you know, Greek mythology, Norse mythology, what have you, you will find quite a few occasions where something significant has happened because someone's eaten fruit, or, you know, someone's poisoned fruit or something like that. So when you think about it as something, you know, along those lines, it's not that far. It's not that absurd to think about.
And fruit is important.
I like how they've handled it. You know, it's this is a mysterious forest. For some reason, there's fruit that grows on these trees that is not native to our world. And this fruit has magical powers. And when a human or a creature or whatever eats it, they turn into a monster because they can't handle it.
They can't handle the fruit. Sorry. That was so good, Brian snorted. Anyway, sorry, I couldn't resist. Got to calm my stuff. Real quick before we move on, that did remind me, they made a brief mention, I think it was the DJ guy, about we'll see whether Helheim chooses you. See if it chooses you, kid. See if you got what it takes to be chief. But that's interesting. I mean, it was such a brief thing, but we're zooming out a little more. It seems like, you know, we keep zooming out and it gets bigger. I mean, we've gotten to Yggdrasil, which is like this corporate element, but there's obviously something even bigger going on with that.
Yeah.
So I like that it just keeps revealing itself to be bigger and bigger.
And they've... I remember at least Zangetsu or someone has said something along those lines before in the series, but at the time, we didn't really know as much as we did.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, this could lead to something, this couldn't, we don't really know what it is right now. And then we get to this point, and now, you know, the DJ says it, and now it's more significant to us, because now it's like, oh, well, now that we know more about Helheim, you know, this could be really big. And at the same time, we actually don't know that much about Helheim. We still don't know why the hell it's there, what the hell it's for, like why this forest is picking people for something. Like it's
is Les Stroud doing an episode of Survivor Man in it? We don't know.
That's why someone asked on my Ask FM thing whether or not I thought that the final baddie of Gaim was going to be like the head of Yggdrasil or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
well,
that was Fize Daniel. He asked me that.
You know what? There's still so much about everything else that we don't know about. It could be the head of Yggdrasil. It could be something to go on, like to do with Helheim, because they're clearly setting something up with that, you know.
For all we know, Yggdrasil could burn to the ground in 2 episodes and not be around for the entire of the series. Like, we literally don't know anything.
Yeah.
So,
it's like, we're 15 episodes in, and we don't know what is behind this company. Like, we know of, like, Sagara, Cid, Secretary Lady,
probably
Takatora, and a bunch of people in lab coats. That's the extent of our knowledge of Yggdrasil, and then they stole that tree.
I think it's funny.
That's all we got.
That, like, this is sort of the first time Kaito's really found out anything about this going on other than a fight. Because, like, he had all these questions, and Coach is just like, yeah, it's called Helheim, there's fruit that turned you into monsters. Fucking pull it together, Kaito, don't you know anything? He's like, God, don't you spy on these people on the weekends like I do?
Another thing I was kind of thinking about today while watching it was how unexpected was the DJ at the beginning of the series, and now all of a sudden he's
important.
He's wrapped up in everything else. Like, that's, you start the series and he's just this like goofy announcer guy that you don't take seriously. He's just there, you know. He's just part of that Invest game, and you know, you don't think anything of him. And then you realize, oh, he's part of this organization.
He's like the announcer from Korra all of a sudden being important.
Yeah.
And like, that's probably what Kota felt, too, when he came to his cell. It's like all of a sudden Kevin Ferrer coming to your cell and being part of a conspiracy. What the fuck are you doing here? yeah. Gaim. Talked about Gaim for quite a while.
Yeah.
Pick up a lot of Gaim. It's so easy. I love this year. It makes it so easy for me and my corny puns. Well, although nobody can beat Leslie at her fruit pun or vegetable puns. Keep the peas or whatever it was. Classic.
I hate vegetables, but I'm so good at making vegetable puns.
I love, like, the reoccurring jokes in that show about, like, the hatred of vegetables and, like, salads. Like, that they ran Sue's salads out of town.
It's funny, like, if you watch several episodes throughout the course of the series, you can see the idea for Sioux Salads, the start of Sioux Salads, and then that one throwaway line where they mentioned that they ran it off town.
That kind of reminds me of when Michael and Dwight went to that small paper company and stole their clients. And then, five episodes later, when Michael quit, he called them up for a job, and they just have an answering machine saying they went out of business. That was a nice, subtle little touch of just running a family business. All right, well, I guess it's time for...
Ramble time.
Wait, is it exist? Is it exist?
No!
I guess I could talk about, though, what we decided to do about it. After all the suggestions, we decided to do what we want. And basically, Ramble Time, we're just going to have it when we have something to talk about. We felt this show is so long that there's really no need to drag it out. So when there's shows to talk about, or if we maybe have a random topic we'd like to discuss, we'll have it. But otherwise, we don't need it. We just talked about Gaim for quite a while, so I think we're good on Gaim.
We're basically taking everyone's idea and no one's idea at the same time.
Yeah, we were basically taking Aerosol's original suggestion, and then I took it to be my own. Aerosol's like, why don't we just not do it if we don't need to? I'm like, ugh! And then later I'm like, hey, I got an idea. So, yeah, it's not like it's gone forever. There's going to be a few shows popping up. We could, like I said, we can occasionally have topics we might want to discuss.
If we watched an old episode of something and just wanted to spark a discussion about it, that can happen too.
We could talk about the intense this
week because I don't have time for that shit.
We can talk about the intense science fiction issues presented in these writer shows 1 week. Could have a rant against the fandom. Anything could happen.
That's just all the time.
Yeah.
Last week, you guys practically had a version of Ramble Time in the middle of the news.
Yeah. So what happens if you leave Kevin and I alone? We have our own little side adventures that have to do with McDreamy. And down south with humping him.
I told these guys yesterday that you guys started talking about that. Eventually, it got to the point where I forgot I was listening to the RR podcast. I don't know what I thought I was listening to at that point, because after 40 minutes, I just looked down at my phone that has the episode on it. I'm like, what the fuck am I listening to? Because it's clearly not Toku. It's not anything I know about. They're talking about some douchebag named McDreamy. I don't know what
McDreamy is majestic. How dare you?
And Brian's not talking, so I can only imagine he's huddled up in the corner waiting for it to end.
It could sound so disastrous.
Please, Mommy, make it stop.
See, it was so traumatic it turned him British.
That's what happens. That's how British people were born. That's just true.
I'm trying to think of what would have traumatized them to that extent.
Damn it, I'm trying to think of something really insulting, but I can't. The American version of The Office. I don't know. God, our 6 episodes were so much better.
No.
You didn't even have Stanley, and he is a sassy black man. Anyway, speaking of sassy black men, now it's time for... Oh, wait. Well, no, you do the jingle. That's right.
I was trying to do the jingle in a sassy black man voice, but I don't think I can pull it off, so I'm just going to go with the Facebook question of the bi-weekliners.
Yeah, that was more like an almost fat Albert. Someone just posted that on AskFM a few days ago and said, hey. Speaking of, today I discovered the true purpose of AskFM. It's not for people to ask you questions, it's for you to ask questions of what people say to you. It leaves you asking more questions that were asked to you. So that's why it's called AskFM.
Half of them aren't even questions.
Exactly.
They still
it just leaves
seriously
you asking questions.
Question, some of the people that ask things to you guys, because I don't know, they're kind of frightening.
Alright, so this week's question was, what past Ranger team would you like to see use another season's suit as a power-up like Super Mega Force?
Yep.
Alright, now it's time for...
Fine! Edgar Quick says, Battle Fever J turning into the Dark Rangers. MMPR into Dino Thunder would work too, so would Cockroach Ranger to Hurricanger.
Charles Chong says MMPR to Dino Thunder, in space to GoBusters. My intention with this question was for teams that butted up against each other to see how you could make that work in your mind, not just making shit that fits. That's too easy. Try again!
Make your questions easier to understand, Dick.
Well, just think about it. Come on, son.
Well, that's what I would have interpreted it as.
That's what I did interpret it as.
You should just interpret my interpreting. Just, okay?
You're dumb.
Did I read my answer already? Yeah, okay.
Vincent Sabita says, Alien Rangers to Ninja Storm, Lightspeed Rescue to SPD, Time Force to SPD.
There's going to be two SPDs.
Time Force
they do
to
the
SPD
fusion dance
like
and suddenly...
In space to I-Squad. Wait, A-Squad?
I-Squad.
That's like so low on the totem pole, man.
They don't even work for SPD. They work at McDonald's in the cafeteria.
I'm just imagining someone in like a Power Rangers outfit serving food.
Yeah, well, it's like they have like, you know, the food court inside the SPD base, and they got like a McDonald's and like Carl's Jr. That's where the Ice Squad works.
One of them has to wear a hairnet over their helmet.
Hairnet!
Derek Zartan says Turbo to RPM or Wild Force to Jungle Fury.
Nicholas Hernenhoff says Dino Thunder to Kyuriger, RPM to GoBusters, Lightspeed Rescue to Tokyuger. Maybe?
No.
Muhammad Daniel says Deja Vu. I hate everything. Deja Vu question, huh, Dawson? Well, the most realistic idea I can see is from RPM to GoBusters. Take the same serious storylines for both RPM and GoBusters, plus maybe Ziggy and Dylan would be great for black and green original Rangers. Plus Gemma as a female Stagbuster would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
And how the engines and Buddy Roids are really like buddy companions. This is making me sad. That's in Sentai terms. Okay. Crossing from RPM to GoBusters would be gold for Saban. Smiley face.
I love how you said smiley face. That was great.
Smiley face. Chenix Stewart says Jungle Fury to RPM. See, there we go. There's a completely random ass thing.
I can't tell if he meant to do that or if he's the one person that actually accurately interpreted your question.
Of all the people, and with that dumb avatar that I hate.
Yeah, Chenix, why are you a woman?
He does that a lot. Brody Taylor Gage says Time Force.
I like how hard that made him laugh.
I think I took Brian's turn, too. Wait, did I?
No, you
no,
didn't.
No, I was Chenix.
Okay. You're Chenix? Get the fuck out of here. That's the best answer of the entire thing. Just Time Force.
Time Force to everyone.
That's it. Just Time Force. Oh, God.
Jared Castile says RPM to GoBusters.
Oh my god. Sean Gardinier says MMPR into tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills. Wait.
Kevin Phantom Thong says Alien Ranger would be really cool to see turn into Ninja Storm. Who wouldn't want to see those brain headeds again? That wasn't right.
Jesus Alvarado says Wild Force to Jungle Fury.
Peter Lee says Light Speed Rescue into Time Force due to the very familiar use of technology in the Megazords and in fighting the villains. Also, the Light Speed suits look like older Sentai suits and the Time Force suits look like newer suits, very fitting for a transition.
J. Jonah Jameson says maybe Light Speed to SPD.
TKT. My God.
G'day.
What's with the just random letters? you do this to spite us. TKD Tigray says, MMPR to Dino Thunder to Kyuriger. It's gonna happen. You know, and Tommy will be the reasons why.
#OMG Tommy. I might actually get to this by the time we start talking about our answers, but I read this and I thought of this whole scenario, and I'll explain it later. But it's awful, and I hate myself.
Okay, can't wait to hate you in a couple turns.
Corey Gong says, Gong. "Burnt Sentai Toast Danger." To bottle
sounds like toast danger.
Bottle Sentai Sprayger. It's not useful spray. The characters for Toast Danger 1-2
Ryan's gonna sprain himself reading this.
I'm done.
This isn't even a real answer. Oh no.
I do like the name Power Rangers Super Mega Ultra Titanic Grantastic Force. Mostly for the Titanic part.
They're gonna sink.
Andrew Booth says, Turbo Ranger, Car Ranger, Go Onger.
Steven Ketchum says, Dino Thunder to Kyuriger, because Kyuriger kind of looks like the Dino Thunder suits exploded and turned badass.
Thank you, Brian. Very close effect.
Anytime. And finally, Jeff Moses says, Alien to Ninja Storm, both were ninjas.
No.
Truer facts have never been spoken.
The fuck? I didn't know that.
The Alien Ninjas, seriously, why were they aliens?
Why were they fish aliens? Like not even just aliens. Fish aliens.
These are so clearly ninjas, and now we're fish alien people. We're not even, like, ninja alien people. They're fish alien people.
That's how Saban, I told you, by the time MMPR ended, it was like a crazy lie that had spun completely out of control. It was crazy. Now let's just sit in silence and think about that. Think about what you've done. Think about what you've done, Marvelous. Brian's mad at you. I'm mad at him right now, so we had a spat.
We're having a tiff.
So anyway, I was like, wait, did I say that where my intentions were? I did. My intention was to see they were butted up against each other because I was curious what that would be like. The Lightspeed Rescue Time Force one was one I thought about. I think that one, if that had been done, would have made sense. I think Space could have transferred to Lost Galaxy for the sole reason that they kept the in-space voices on the Lost Galaxy toys. That's my only basis behind that.
That's a beautiful basis. And they kept the whole space thing, you know.
Yeah.
But, I'll save my thing until after Aerosol says something.
Well, now I'm trying to think of one. Because I clearly misinterpreted the question.
Clearly, you're supposed to read between the lines and in fine print. Next time I'll be as clear as fuck.
Well, I'm not sure. Now I'm trying to think of one that like would be kind of weird to mash up.
I kind of like Chenix's answer. Jungle Fury to RPM. Like, the poor animals had to get turned into vehicles for some reason.
Now we gotta channel your vehicle spirits, gang!
The funny thing is, the Z-Ranger. Geki Ranger versus Go-Onger thing? That's what they did in the... In that movie, was yes, they summoned their engine soul spirits.
there we go. That's all that needed to happen. Was the team up for an entire season. But, so, I read that answer. And so I started thinking that... If they actually really want to do it like this, but knowing Zatcher and Saban right now, probably not, because it's not what happened in Kyuriger. But Torin's entire thing would get replaced by Tommy. And so he would be the mentor guy and eventually become Silver, because he was already a Brachiosaurus once, he can do it again, because he's Tommy.
Unmorphed life. Yeah.
So that was the basis. And then I started thinking about how Torn was kind of training Soji. And then I'm like, oh god, he would be training a new Green Ranger. And he would make a big deal about it because he's green.
Oh god, I didn't even think about
and
that.
And so the entire, they would take the focus off of Red, and the entire show would just be Tommy teaching Green everything about being green because he's green.
Now, say yeah a lot, and then marry a girl with big tits, and be a complete douchebag. It'll be perfect.
So that was the basis of everything, and I got really upset because...
Always keep green in your hair.
Because I actually think that they... If JDF was willing to do it, which I know he is, because he doesn't do anything else with his life, that's silly. Why have a life when you can just milk Power Rangers for your entire...
Life.
Life. I was going to say career, but he don't got one of them. he could literally do that. And I hate it.
JDF always perpetually looks like he's on his way to a St. Patrick's Day party. Like, because he's always got, like, green stripes in his hair now.
He does sort of look like a leprechaun, doesn't he?
Like, he just always looks like he's on his way to a St. Patrick's Day celebration.
JDF is the worst leprechaun ever. He's the one leprechaun that you just always find because he's always up in your face.
Like, you finally catch him. Oh, it's you. Yeah, I don't really want your gold.
You again.
No, don't follow me. Go over there, please.
Seriously, though, every single post I see on Facebook Rangers or anywhere about Choyuger adaption ideas is always bring back Tommy or bring back an MMPR cast member.
That's because of the stupid worst.
And I saw someone's like, bring back Zach because it'll make the dancing theme make sense. I'm like, of course, because Zach was the only person that danced in all of history. Fuck, you're right. Zach's too busy. He's looking for his finger in Africa. Annie's boobs bit it off, and he's still looking for it. It's in the vents with the pen.
Oh, my God.
It's so annoying. It's like, I don't want it to be MMPR anymore, even though there's a 95% chance GoBusters and Courageous themes are going to be Go-Go, whatever the hell the season's name is.
Go go Spy Force. Go go Dino Dancer.
Dino Dancer. Yes.
Power Rangers Dino Dancers.
2064. They just play Tiny Dancer. Only it's Dino Dancer.
There we go. We got the theme song.
They're gonna go back to the simplistic nature of samurai for Tokyo Drift and just call it Power Rangers Trains. That's it.
Except no, it'll be more heavily geared towards children more than it already is. It'll be called Power Rangers Choo Choo.
This looks like a children's show.
Choo Choo.
This looks like a children's show.
This is the obvious thing. It's like new reveal. CSI Los Angeles. This looks like a crime show. Thanks. Stupid.
Oh my god. I oh my god, the fandom is so awful. I hate it here. Like, if I could leave and not, like, lose all sources of my income, I would. Like, I'm...
That's why I consider myself on the outside, on a little bubble. Just watches all this craziness go down. Just reveal themselves everywhere.
I like how it gets described as a place. Like, Brian's like, I hate it here. I wish I could leave. Like, you're not... It makes it sound like he's being held there, or he's, like...
Sometimes
stuck
I feel
in
like
some
I am.
Dead-end job, and, man, I hate my job.
Everything.
And boss and my coworkers.
Like, no, he hates his coworkers. We're just his coworkers, though. I'm putting together a podcast with my coworkers that I have no friendship with. Those are your exact words. They've changed over the years, but those are your exact words.
Okay, because that makes sense.
Yeah, Kevin and I have it right. Right, Kevin? We got it. Remember when I used to say that and he used to be right there next to me? Why did he have to move away from Pawnee, guys?
I'm here. I have a seat. It's warm.
It's warm. Oh. You don't have to fight over the stool with Kevin. We still can't buy Force tools? No, we're saving money. Why? To buy toys.
Cost-saving measures.
I like
Should I at least use my money to buy a stool? No, we're also using that for toys. Can I have the toys? No.
No.
Only if you make more Gabutira and friends. I don't wanna.
That show got canceled. So, I think that's the end of our little venture there. Make sure you ask us some Twitter questions. And I will put up a very specific and clear Facebook question in 2 weeks. It'll have like 12 lines, and like everyone's like a possible thing. If you think this question is about this, stop. It is not about this. Time Force.
Time Force.
The greatest answer.
So, now it's time for
Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
You should just have it say that from now on, just with the MP3. So
I was half expecting one of you to say Time Force.
You know,
Time Force.
Pretty much made a mention of it every week, but I still love the fact that we essentially do what we would do in the Final Thingy segment before we start the segment. Yeah. And the Final Thingy is just us saying random shit until we find a place to end on.
Yeah, which isn't yet.
Time Force.
There we go.
Yeah.